Brethren, join in imitating me and mark those who so live as you have an example in us. For many of whom I have often told you and now tell you even with tears live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their end is destruction. Their God is the belly, and they glory in their shame, with minds set on earthly things. But our commonwealth is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will change our lowly body to be like his glorious body, by the power which enables him even to subject all things to himself. Therefore, my brethren, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, may my beloved. The word of God.
Thanks be to God.
O God, high and lofty, one that inhabitest eternity, whose name is holy, and who has promised to dwell with those that are contrite and humble spirit, we pray to you to cleanse our hearts from every stain of pride and vainglory, that though the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee, yet you would consent to abide with us forever. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. When a person begins to learn how to draw, oftentimes they think of drawing the object that is in front of them. So if there is a piece of fruit or a person, you draw the person or the piece of fruit. And that kind of seems obvious. But at some point in your instruction in art, in drawing, your instructor will say to you, draw the negative spaces around the object. So instead of drawing the fruit, you draw the empty space around it. Now that doesn't seem like it would make sense, but when you try it, you discover that you see things entirely differently than you did when you were looking at the piece of fruit. This came alive to me not too long ago as I was trying to draw a labyrinth. Well, you can draw the labyrinth, the boundaries of it, but an easier way to draw a labyrinth is to draw the path and not the boundaries. It's sort of a negative way or an alternative way of looking at things. Paul's scripture reading today, the reading we had from Paul's letter to Philippians, has in it a peculiar phrase that kind of strikes us. And it sort of holds with us, but it's not a very helpful phrase. It's, do not live as an enemy of the cross of Christ. Now, Paul has his own reasons for putting that there, but I began to think about those persons that I know around me, and I began to think about you, and I said, well, I don't know anybody who's an enemy of the cross of Christ. Oh, I mean, I know people who struggle, but many of the people that I know simply are not enemies of the cross of Christ. Rather, all of us, I suspect, are more like that first line of our first hymn. I am thine, O Lord. I have heard your voice, and it told thy holy love to me. But I long to rise in the arms of faith and be drawn closer to thee. Indeed, when we look at the opposite of the enemies of the cross of Christ, we wonder, what does it mean to be a friend of the cross of Christ? For that is what we want to be. And that's what we are. But as the first line of the hymn prays, so we pray. We would like to be a better friend of the cross of Christ. The Gospel of John gives us some really good clues about what this means. In that last week and day of Jesus' life on earth, he took an extended time to instruct the disciples, which we can read about in John 13 through 19. At one point in the upper room, he has taken the bowl and the towel and washed the disciples' feet. And then he says to them, "You all call me teacher and Lord. And rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set the example for you. Should you do as I have done for you? I tell you the truth. No servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him." Jesus is giving us a clue and a pattern, if you will, to what it means to be his follower and his friend. To be the last, to obey him, to serve. He calls us, in this case, servants. And in some ways, we are servants. For Jesus, while our friend, is also our mentor, our Lord, our Savior, our King. Jesus is our friend in a full, an almost unexplored way. So to be a friend of the cross is to be somebody who does what Jesus does. What Jesus does. To be a friend of the cross means that we do the same things. But it doesn't just end there. Later on, in chapter 15, Jesus clues the disciples in that just doing and liking to do the same things is not the whole friendship, but that there is a deeper foundation. And he says to them, "You are my friends if you do what I command." Well, there's the obedience. You are a friend. "But I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you." Now, that all of a sudden begins to put the whole idea of being Jesus' friend in a whole different light. Not only do we like to do the same things that Jesus does, not only are we willing to obey Jesus, but we know why we should, and we know what we should do, and we know how it should be done. We are clued in to the purpose and meaning of what God is about, what Jesus is about. We are shown, we are told why God is doing what God is doing in Jesus. And we are invited into the depths of that activity, not as a mere servant, not as a mere observer, but as a friend, and even sometimes as a participant. Jesus, a couple of chapters later, just before his arrest, says, "I have revealed you to those whom you gave me out of the world. They are yours, and they have obeyed your word. Now they know everything you have given me comes from you, for I gave them the words you gave me, and they accepted them." Jesus affirms that he has revealed and is revealing still the activity and actions of God on our behalf and the purposes for which he does them. A friend does what is asked. A friend knows why it is to be done. A friend knows how it should be done. And a friend sticks by you even when he is betrayed. Peter and the other disciples failed. For all that Jesus told them on that last night about friendship, about knowing what is done, doing what is done, being kept until it's ended, they were not able at the end of the night and at the end of the day to stand by Jesus in any strength, any integrity at all. They betrayed their friend, but their friend did not betray them. For in the last chapter of John, we find Jesus seeking out his friends, seeking out the brokenhearted, wounded, guilty, bereft, bereaved, grieving, sad, unfulfilled, guilt-ridden again, friends. They were fishing, and on a beach, he appeared with a fire and called to them. And he had breakfast with them, and particularly concerned for his friend Simon Peter, who had betrayed him in the worst ways, Peter takes him aside and asks him, "Do you love me?" Peter said yes, and Jesus pressed the issue, giving Peter ultimately three opportunities to express and recommit himself to the friend he had betrayed. Jesus models what it means to be a friend because he had obeyed God's will in becoming a human being. And he obeyed God's will in facing death by crucifixion. He understood what our condition was. He understood that he must die. And he revealed in the midst of all of that the depth and purpose of his love. And so we discover that friendship with God, friendship with the cross of Christ, brings to us a new and stronger and more inviting reason to look and search for what Jesus commands. Because we obey, because Jesus obeyed. And we know what God is about because Jesus taught us. And we understand that we are forgiven because Jesus has died for us and has forgiven us. And we know that there is life abundant ahead of us because Jesus has risen to new life. And so, the Lenten question for us is not whether we are an enemy of the cross. You are not in any way, shape, or form an enemy of the cross. You are a friend of Jesus, and Jesus is your friend. But as in any good friendship that has a future, the friend we are today could be a better friend tomorrow. And so, for us, in the midst of this time of reflection before Easter, we have an opportunity to grow in friendship, to grow in understanding, to grow in understanding of our sinfulness and our acceptance of forgiveness, and to grow and embrace by faith the life that is laid out before us. And after all, that is all Paul is asking the Philippian church and his readers to do, to have a deeper, more faithful friendship with Jesus. Friends, you are a friend of Jesus, and Jesus is your friend. Grow into being a better friend of the cross of Christ. Let us pray.